Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, first half, we have a very funny Chet Waterhouse, and the news coming as well.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Ed Calderon. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Jeff Cesario drops in for the Chet Waterhouse Sports. And now, he'd never get into QAnon, not because it's insane. It would require him being able to use the internet. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. We're going to mandate you get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing. We love that about you as we head toward year number 12 over here. Good day, Gina Grad.
Gina's... Good day to you.
There you go. And Bald Brian. Fuck the Jews.
Yeah. The wind beneath my wings. I don't have all my powers back, but
he's your Robin to your Batman.
That's right.
Mike August reminded me of something funny, which maybe if the good people from Urban Dictionary are listening, they could put it on another coffee mug and give me credit for it. Something I said a while back that I'd completely washed from my memory, which is we were talking about a hot chick, and Mike said, yeah, she's throw her in the pool and she comes out better, hot chick. And I thought, yeah, that is the way you really can measure a hot chick. Does she look better coming out of the pool? Meaning the shirt's clinging now, showing off right. The curves, the hair's right. All wet and down, glistening.
The natural beauty, you know.
The
right.
Cape.
So he said, Kendall Jenner looked better coming out of the pool. And I was like, yeah, but I don't think Caitlyn Jenner would look better coming out of the pool. So that within the Jenner family, you know, we've already done it. And then I started thinking about what if you just put a little time, like Tara Reid in the pool circa 1999 comes out better.
Yeah, out of her powers.
Pam Anderson in 1999 comes out better.
Jessica Simpson.
Courtney Love. They come out better. In 2021, oh, wow. Coming out of the pool's a little... That's a little chasm there. So if you're talking about a hot chick, the real measurement is does she look better coming out of the pool? And I think that does not most...
Okay, time has passed.
Time has passed for some of those.
That's right.
Pool.
Most people don't, but for a few elite gals, they look better, and fellas, too, coming out of the pool.
To be equitable, I think you could do this across the board with the fellas.
Yeah, the only caveat here with the fellas, for the most part, is a little less hair and a little less makeup. Or none at all. So that is one of the driving factors. The physique, obviously, is a big one as well.
As long as it's not a cold pool, too.
Right.
Yeah. Gene Simmons, way worse.
Way
worse.
Although, I would definitely hang out at that barbecue until he came out. He'd probably stay in until the party ended.
Yeah.
And then have one of his squires hold the towel up. You know what I mean? That hold the towel up move.
Yeah. Well, the quarterback gets changed on the sidelines, so he has to piss or something.
That's right. That's right. Or when the model's done with the shoot where her top's off and she's covering her boobs with her hands, at some point they have the squire hold the robe up. All right. Let's see. You guys will be glad to know that I took pictures of the weeds by the side of the freeway an hour ago.
Cool. How are they doing?
Well, the...
Start off the year right.
The weeds are now in full bloom and full effect. They're 2 feet over the top of the 6-foot fence. So
we're still a month and a half away from rainy season. I mean, they got a long way to go.
I know. The weeds are...
Oh, they're really flourishing.
Yeah, take the picture that I shot today, Max Zapata. You can see they're lush, they're green, they're over the top of the 6-foot fence. They're going berserk.
They look planned.
Yes. Yeah. Meanwhile, the trees that they planned and planted look exactly the same as they did when they planted them.
They're withering on the vine.
They're dying on the vine because they can't get water because the tree, because the weeds are now blocking the sprinklers at the bottom. So there's not a lot of growth. There's a big puddle at the bottom because the water hits the weeds that have certainly gone to town. Again, all you have to do is, as I've done, is go to Phoenix and go to Vegas and just see what they do by the sides of the freeway. It's a completely different approach. It's always vexing to me that people, I've always said this about places in Europe, but certainly in the United States as well. The people who make these decisions, do they not travel? Have they not been on a Southwest flight? Do they not go to other places who seem to have figured it out? And then if, in fact, they do, why don't they look around when they're in the back of the Uber and go, hey, maybe we should implement that here.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll just do that and take the credit. Please.
But it's a very L.A. kind of thing, and it's kind of with fits with the general zeitgeist because it's like we are one thing, which is an arid, basically desert climate, but we don't want to admit it. We're we're a lush, green, flourishing tropical garden.
Yes.
And so we
go Mediterranean and we say we're Hawaii.
Right. And that's what we're doing. We're going, fuck it. This is LA. This is palm trees and ice plant. We're going to have all this lush greenery.
Birds of paradise.
But we can't pull it off. All we end up with is weeds. So this whole side of the freeway, they took all the time to clear it out. They cleared all the weeds. They planted the trees. And now we just have more weeds. Also, it's one of those
more pictures
metaphors in life, too, which is weeds are always going to grow. I don't know how you calculate it. I wouldn't say 10 times as fast as these trees. I'd go 2,000 times as fast as the trees. The weeds literally didn't exist when the trees were 5.5 feet tall. And now that the trees are 6 feet tall, the weeds are 7 feet tall. That's
towering over the fence.
That's the breakdown. But okay. I don't know. I don't feel like these people are competent. That's me. All right. So I also, sort of in that vein, I was talking to Dr. Drew earlier, and Dr. Drew is on a It's a reflective and emotional Dr. Drew because this COVID thing has got the best of his brain now, you know.
That's his number one feature. Well, behind the abs.
The brain is he's got COVID on the brain and he's a little emotional, he's a little scattered, but makes for a fun show. Well, what he was talking about is that message. His message is don't go into the hospital, get help, stay home, don't overwhelm the hospitals with the hospital beds and the ICU, and do not overwhelm them, stay home and get help. But
wouldn't you rather be home than in a hospital? So it's kind of a win-win.
And of course, nobody knows how to get help or what to do at home, especially half of LA County. I mean, come on.
At least.
So I then, of course, circled back to my second favorite topic after weed growth by the side of the freeway. And Drew kept saying, you should just go with MD. So you go with, I think it's like talktoanmd.com or something with an MD.com or some version of that. And if you just go there, you can get the information you need. Max Pat is putting it up on the screen now. Speakwithanmd.com. Speakwithanmd.com. And I thought, yeah, that'd be great, except for nobody knows it.
Nope.
Never heard
so
of
everyone
it.
Just heads into the hospital. Of course. And then I thought maybe during this brief period where our hospitals in Los Angeles are being overwhelmed, maybe for just this brief moment, we could safely remove on the freeway signs, slow for the cone zone.
Safely removed.
And then put, just briefly.
Yeah.
And just put the talktoanmd.com or speaktoanmd.com. Don't you think that'd be helpful?
That'd be very, very helpful PSA.
So it would just be COVID symptoms or COVID question mark speakwithanmd.com. Right under it. Every freeway sign. There's no such thing as anyone who lives in Los Angeles who is not traveling on the freeway if, in fact, you're out and about, or a loved one isn't out and about. And if it's placed on every single one of those big electronic signs, I think we could move the needle.
Well, think about the cost, though.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Somebody's got to get a keyboard out and type that in. You're right, Brian. It's labor intensive.
I feel bad sitting on this point. It's a good point.
I know. It's not like those signs are like an old gas station sign where you have to get out a suction cup with a mop handle on it and hang everything on it. You could simply just put that on there. And it definitely would make me think that the people in power knew what they were doing. Because I'd be like, oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, that's smart. We have all these signs. We have this crucial, critical information we'd like to pass along. We're trying to not be overwhelmed in terms of the hospitalization goes. Why not just pop that bad boy up there? And, you know, even if it made a 10% difference, well, that's just 10%,
that's
10% less people showing up at the hospital. That would be awesome. I, for 22 years, have been trying to contact the people who are in charge of these boards, but mum's the word. It's an elite fraternity of retards who fucking don't want to talk to smart people because I don't know if they'd be able to get out of the ditch they fucking dug themselves into. But wouldn't that be nice? Or maybe even a little break from Click It or Ticket, perhaps, or Slow for the Cone Zone. They put the mask on, but I think the message is out with the wearing the mask.
Much like the seatbelts, the people who are going to do it are going to do it.
Right. And not only is the message received, but the only people who don't need to wear a mask are the people driving alone in their cars.
Right. All right. So there's my humble contribution. Yes.
I've been trying to get both the freeway weed people and the electronic freeway sign people to come on. I think it's because they're hearing what you're saying. So I just need a clip of you complimenting them.
Yes.
And I can forward that to them.
All right. Let's see.
You want to invite them in to shake their hand.
Yeah. Let's see if I can summon something up. Hey, man, you know who's doing a bang-up job in the highways and byways of SoCal?
Who's that, Ace Man?
Oh, the folks that are in charge of the...
Oh, God, are you okay?
It was an aborted take. We'll take two when Adam proposes himself.
Get a clean take in a second.
It's still going.
Oh, sloppy joes were bad.
You were close on that one, man.
Look a little
what was
peaking.
I saying? Those guys are, well, I don't use the term cracker jack that often, but when it comes to the good ladies and men, they're all... what's that?
Chris, don't send him this clip.
Yeah, we'll edit that in post.
I need a handkerchief. Jesus Christ.
Somebody get him a bucket.
You know, the only people doing a better job than the people in charge of the freeway signs are those geniuses that are behind landscaping.
I think that's a usable take.
My eyelids are bloodshot. Oh, my God. I swallowed my tongue. Oh, I need Ipecac. I need something. I need a shot. Give me some goddamn buttermilk or something. Yeah, those two should be nominated for the Citizens of the Year. The way they're handling this, especially the good folks with the freeway signs, and then, of course, their counterparts over there who are in charge of the
I appreciate that he vomits off Mike.
That is nice of him. I think Dawson can grab the top of one and the bottom of the other.
That's usable. That's absolutely usable.
God, somebody's talking to you guys about eating cubes of old cheese before.
Sure.
When the mic's heated up, it's just a bad cheese. This is no reflection on the fine and dedicated civil servants who man the keyboards who are in charge of heating up those freeway signs with timely mail.
You know, I think we have to call the show today.
Yeah.
I don't think we can go on.
Real quick.
He's really sick.
Let's do some sports.
I think he popped a blood vessel in his neck.
My tongue. Okay. I have a shot.
Get that man some
water back in here.
Yeah, please. Get him some
Chris, I need a fucking banana. I need a banana. I need potassium. Okay. All right. What was I saying?
complimenting our good workers.
Right,
Cracker Jack's
raving.
Oh no,
Gina, what have you done?
Just hearing it.
Don't bring up food. I gotta mop my brow. All right. Anyway, tip of the cap, doing a fantastic job. Do you think you could cobble that together and send it to them?
I think we got it.
Okay. All right. Then invite them on the program, please. All right. Jeff Cesario is on. Is he online something, or are we just...
That one as well as rehearsed.
We're just going to pop him in. He's going to do a little Chet Waterhouse. We can talk a little about the football NFL playoffs. Exciting. Exciting. I don't know if you guys are like me, but all the times, whenever I'm trying to figure out the times of the playoff games, because they kind of move the times around, they have the Saturday games, they're all done in Eastern time. Now, you know, I'm going to be a West Coast snob, but provide the West Coast time, too. I'm doing a lot of math. Doing a lot of unnecessary 8:05. Oh, no, 8:00. Yeah.
Sneak in Central Time.
Right, yeah. Let's just let's keep it to the West Coast. Let those people do the time. It's easier to add 3 hours than it is to subtract.
Now you're talking.
How you doing? Oh, and Jeff, are you calling the Browns-Steelers game?
Yeah, simulcasting it as Chet. On the stereo app. It's called the stereo app. You just get the stereo app, and then me and Adam Felber, who's on Wait, Don't Tell Me, and great writer, he's my color man, Randy Joe Stuttmeyer.
Will you be in character the whole time?
Yeah. We've done it before. It's great.
This is so great.
Fun.
We got the Browns at 11-5. We got the Steelers at 12-4. Although the Steelers have been sliding, although the Browns beat them last time, although Big Ben wasn't starting. Then the Browns got a bunch of COVID, right?
Yeah, the coach.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure what's going to happen with any of these games. these rosters are in a massive state of flux across the NFL, the college playoff, Ohio State's. Like, they've got, like, maybe 45 guys ready to dress. It's, like, getting really kind of tight.
Slim Bickens.
They were saying that the Browns special teams coach, or one of the assistant coaches who's a special teams guy, is going to take over as head coach. But is there – I feel like you could zoom into that conversation if you're the head coach, right? Like, couldn't we have you back at the Browns facility with a couple of monitors around you and a headset on? Like, do you really need to be pacing the sideline to call in,
They can sequester you pretty easily in a booth or a box. The stadium's empty, for God's sake.
Right.
Put him in a luxury box.
Yeah, what? I mean, does he have to just sit home and listen to the AM radio like Hoosiers?
It's his little working like shooter. The knobs.
Shooters in his hospital bed, like cheering on the Browns. Like, don't you feel like that guy could be on the blower with two? I mean, look, I've been to enough high-end automotive auctions to know that half the guys bidding on that Bugatti are in Dubai.
Exactly.
And they just have a guy on the phone, and they're like, what are we at? We're at. All right, here's where I'll go to. Like, they're just calling it in, like literally phoning in the shots. Why? I don't know if there's any Max Spada can look. I don't.
Yeah, well, all I see is they're just still calling him unavailable for the game. But he said that Wednesday, that the Browns would continue to prepare for the Steelers virtually. And he's even holding a virtual walkthrough in the afternoon.
So he's holding the walkthrough.
Yeah, so he's still helping prepare, but I don't know if he'll be able to
do it. A walkthrough, by definition, is a virtual practice, and they're doing a virtual walkthrough?
I guess.
So nobody actually has to walk. You just have to do
it. Or maybe we get that hologram company that does, like, Michael Jackson concerts and throw Elvis
hologram
and Michael Jackson.
Hank Stram to the sideline for
or why not just do Marilyn Monroe? You know what I mean? Like, give the players, hey, focus, guys.
Well, I can't.
Over here. Right. Instead of fat guy in the windbreaker. So that'll be interesting. Is the spread about 4, 4.5, 5? God, the poor odds makers in Vegas. Normally they lock this shit in on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
A lot in flux.
I think the Steelers will crush it. I don't see any hope.
I think the Steelers are going to do that. Big Ben's back. It's playoff time. Here we go.
It'd be yeah. Steelers are favored by 6 at the moment.
Wow, it just keeps going up. But the Steelers, I think that's a kind of a good bet. Steelers are at home, right?
Yep. Yeah.
You know, you gotta figure with Big Ben in there and Browns and COVID, you gotta figure a one touchdown win, right? Like it's 6 well, points sounds pretty good.
You know, the Steelers will win like 19-5,
mm-hmm.
and it'll sound like just a horrible game, and they'll cover easily. You know what I mean? It'll just be a defensive, weird, cold game,
right?
And they'll score enough to win. It won't matter.
Agreed. My Rams are going to be at the Seahawks. Hard to tell with the Rams and hard to tell with the Seahawks. They both
really hard to tell with the Seahawks.
They both have played kind of lights out and they both have sucked too throughout the season.
Yeah, they've been on real roller coasters and sort of interweaving roller coasters, if that's possible. Let's build that. Sure. Next at a,
I'm sure it exists.
The interweaving roller coaster, but that's what these two teams are on. You're exactly right. I would stay away from this if I was betting.
We have
Seahawks
the
favored by 3.5.
We have the Buccaneers playing a football team. It just says, they're playing, the Redskins. Now, boy, if Brady gets anywhere into these playoffs and especially goes to the Super Bowl, it's not, you know, he was already cemented in as the GOAT of quarterbacks of all time. If he leaves Belichick, goes to the what were the hapless Buccaneers and takes them to the big game, oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, that is an insane statement. And it already kind of is when you take a look at the Patriots and the Buccaneers season. And I don't know, Cam Newton, maybe he's not going to be in the league that long. They're not coming back with him, I don't think.
What are the odds Tom Brady's first game is against a 7-9 team?
Right. Yeah, not too shabby.
Barely beat Philly because Philly put in a third string quarter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's getting a break, I think, a little bit in this first round. Washington has a tough defense, but nothing Tampa Bay can't figure out. They got a good coach in Bruce Arians, so they're probably going to go a round or two deep. I don't know how they'd fare against the Packers or New Orleans, whoever they wind up facing next. But, you know, Brady, with all that experience, is going to figure out a way to make them competitive in any game.
Here's an
interesting stretch.
Here's an interesting thought experiment for everyone but Gina. You know, Belichick had a bad year with Cam Newton. Cam Newton is, you know, not the Cam Newton he was 6-7 years ago, but he's still Cam Newton. He showed some kind of early flashes running the ball of like old Cam Newton. Cam Newton is a physical specimen. He's an amazing athlete. He's bigger than half the defensive linemen. And he's the kind of guy who can improvise, tuck the ball in on any third and less than 7. He may just tuck it in and run it. Versus coaching Tom Brady, who doesn't have the tools, so physical tools that Cam Newton does. So Tom Brady must do everything Belichick says. Like, it must be a pure strategy. We're not going to rely on size or foot speed or athletic ability. We're sticking to the plan, and we're going to coach that way. I wonder if a guy like Belichick is just less effective when he has, like, a phenom athlete back there under center versus what would be considered or always been considered of Tom Brady is very limited physically. I wonder if that actually aided that relationship. I think the 6 Super Bowls is probably some indicator at work. But what do you guys think of that concept?
Well, I just think it's two styles of quarterbacking, and we're sort of shoveling, you know, crap onto the traditional style of quarterbacking. I mean, they're still pretty amazing athletes, the best of them. In the pocket. And I mean, I think you'd have to consider Aaron Rodgers largely a pocket passer, although he can scramble, but so can Brady, even though
I'm not really talking pocket versus tuck and run. I'm just talking about Belichick's magic. How much magic does he have over a guy who will tuck it and run versus the guy has to just check down to Wes Welker every time?
It depends who the tuck it and run guy is.
Yeah.
I mean,
Cam Newton.
Yeah, I'll meet you halfway and say this was a bad bad pairing of quarterback and coach in this situation. I think what you're saying is pretty much that. Like, Cam Newton's past his prime. He doesn't fit the Belichick system. He did his best. They did their best, but he went 10-6 with Matt Castle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, but again, Matt Castle was only going to do what Belichick told him to do. He wasn't going to improvise. So interesting that it makes sense that if the coach who's the strategist is playing with somebody who likes to improvise, he's just going to have less impact. Yeah. All right. So what other games do we have? Colts, Bills. I always root for Philip Rivers. Do you guys root for Philip Rivers? I kind of like Philip Rivers. He has like 11 kids. He wears a bolo tie. He throws sidearm. But he went to the Colts and got it done at 11-5, man.
Colts are a good team. I think the Bills win. I think the Bills are a great team. I think the Colts are going to make them look bad in the first round, like a shaky win kind of thing. But don't sleep on the Bills. They're a complete team.
Yeah, I think what the Bills have going for them is the fact that their quarterback, Allen, is still in a groove where he's maybe somewhat oblivious to the actual pressure that's on him. He's kind of that young and that jockey. You know, I don't think he's fully aware. So he'll be like, if they go down two scores, he's not going to freak out just because he's a kid. I don't think he completely understands that they're in the Super Bowl race. That works to their advantage. I think Jonathan Taylor's come around as a back for them. He's a bit of a beast, and that could give them a sort of a 1-2 punch they haven't had until the last 4 or 5 games of the season. They could be hell on wheels, Indianapolis.
Right.
I mean, Rivers is past his prime in a sense, but at the same time, he's got enough weapons there where they could upset Buffalo, but Buffalo's a strong team. It'll be a fun game. That may be one of the better games.
And Adam, you talk about diminishing, you know, skills. Like, Philip Rivers is so immobile, they will take him out on a 3rd and short and bring in Jacoby Brissett specifically to run like a quarterback sneak. Like, they're telegraphing it from the moment he runs off the field. Yeah. Like, he runs off the field on 3rd and short.
Gina, get a handcart to take him off the field. He doesn't really run off the field.
I just want to keep Gina in the conversation. Jacoby's a Jewish guy. They'll put him in the red zone. They've got to punch it in.
There's no such thing. Come on.
Well, they don't really have mobile quarterbacks, but they have upwardly mobile folks financially. Sure. So the mobile still does work.
That's what they mean by diversity, diversifying.
Upwardly mobile.
But not mobile in the pocket. Right. Mobile.
No, not
upwardly
fleet
mobile.
Of foot.
Yeah, financial.
Mobile in the pocket. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, the hip pocket.
Yeah. Well, they're good in the pocket, Gina. They're real good in the pocket.
Is Aaron Rodgers, is he the MVP? Did they decide on this yet? Or is he just sort of...
I don't think they've decided yet.
The odds on favorite.
Probably.
That guy's...
Josh Allen had a great season, too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Aaron. That guy's throwing motion is so insanely fluid and smooth. He literally throws backing up the entire time, and it's just so fucking effortless. Like, it's just he's just getting better.
There's a wrist flick that is unreal, that adds 20 yards to the ball and lowers the arc. I don't know how he does it. Although Josh Allen, if you watch footage of Josh Allen in slow-mo, he throws most of the time in sort of a state of suspension. His footwork is really weird. He'll like throw off his back kinda foot jumps. Or his front foot, but then he kind of jumps as he's doing it about 2 inches off the ground, which may be all he can jump. I don't know, but he's got this he sort of levitates and throws. It's bizarre, and he gets great speed on the ball too. Great spin.
I wonder.
Footnote to it all. I tweeted this a long time ago, but the only two players when I was a big USC fan, but the only two players that scared me like as an opponent at USC were Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Luck. The only two guys I was like. Or Christian McCaffrey, too. But I was like, how the fuck are we going to do with this guy?
Andrew Luck. Sorry.
What did I say? Aaron Luck?
Yeah, but close enough.
Andrew Luck. Sorry about that.
Hey, I've stayed silent long enough. What happened to that hot dude? Garoppolo?
He got injured.
He's out?
They didn't make the playoffs. It strikes me that so many of the greats, and I'm thinking about Aaron Rodgers here, so many of the greats, and but you could also say that about Muhammad Ali. The reason they're all great athletes, they're all great in college, everyone knows how to throw the ball and so on and so forth. And maybe there's some Joe Montana in here too, but Aaron Rodgers always seems so unflappable. He always seems like he's happy to be there, never seems overwhelmed by the situation or the environment or the pressure cooker. He, you know, never short arms a crucial third and long or whatever it is. It's not only is he, you know, a great athlete and a great technician, has great throwing motion and everything, but I believe, like Muhammad Ali, his demeanor helps him. He's built
for the moment.
He doesn't tighten up. Yep. You know what I mean? He doesn't expend energy. He doesn't have to expend. He's happy just to back up and throw the ball into the ground on a screen that's covered. You know, you never see him like getting emotional and slamming his helmet, whatever. He gets so much out of just when they always say to these guys, just have fun out there. But it's the AFC playoffs and everyone's in the crowd and your parents are watching. It's hard just to go have fun out there. But he actually just seems to go have fun out there. And it completely aids him in his play.
Yep. Yeah, he's more like, the captain, you know, of an airliner that's experiencing tremendous turbulence. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's enjoying it, but I think he's enjoying being the one in charge. I think that's what he enjoys more. He enjoys that feeling of control because he's not one of these happy-go-lucky guys who's smiling all the time, or, you know, he will occasionally, and he's enjoying himself more this year probably than in the past. But I think what he digs is the, all right, what is it, 3rd and 43? Yeah, I think we got this. And convinces everybody around him that they do, and then they do it often enough where he has tremendous confidence in him from everybody else.
Well, you take a guy like Joe Montana, and he probably possessed that same mentality. Again, not all the physical tools you might want, but that the head was there and never overwhelmed by the situation. All right, should we do a little Chet Waterhouse?
Sure.
The Sports with Chet Waterhouse.
Now, brother, that's the Waterhouse update brought to you by Estrogent. The estrogen for men. NFL playoffs. Bears backing in like a guy launching a boat for the very first time. New Orleans down 30 players to COVID, but they've picked up 2 Neville brothers and a Marcellus. Like a Mexican highway, the Rams are uneven. Washington in at 7-9. That's as unlikely as a Jamiroquai reunion. The Steelers, like a car salesman with gambling debts, they just keep coming at you. And finally, the Jets fire Adam Gase after 3 assassination attempts failed. That wrap-up sponsored by Glitzkrieg. Full makeup in 3 minutes or it's free. College football championship, Ohio State versus Alabama for all the COVID-soaked marbles. Friday, Bama gave Notre Dame their last rites. Buckeyes gutted Clemson. They didn't silence Dabo Sweeney. They chloroformed him and dumped him in a rural wooded area for Dateline to find him. That wrap-up sponsored by Sausages, the sausage-flavored throat lozenge. Sore throat? Suck some sausage. NBA, Mennonites suing James Harden for beard infringement. Adam Silver announces if they go to a bubble again, the league will just build its own strip club. College hoops, more cancellations than the Irvine Improv. That item sponsored by Alimony. Pay your alimony with impressionist art. And finally, this week in sports history, the year 1887, the place San Francisco, California, Thomas Stevens becomes the first man to bicycle around the world. Said Stevens, I was on boats for most of it. This Waterhouse update brought to you by Count Your Dressings, the salad dressing superstore. You'll fall asleep counting your dressings. If you want more of me this weekend, for real, I'm doing that simulcast of the Brown Steelers playoff game Sunday night on the Stereo app. Just download that app and watch the game on NBC. But listen to me and my analyst, Randy Joe Stuttmeyer, sponsored, of course, by OCDC, the most meticulous AC/DC cover band ever. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you, first of all, even in a pandemic, slow for the cone zone. And, of course, play with pain.
Chet Waterhouse Sports.
Oh.
That was 2 minutes and 49 seconds. Can he keep it up for over 3 hours, ladies and gentlemen? You're going to find out when you tune in on the stereo app and listen to Chet call the game. And by the way, the stand-up album, What Was I Thinking? It's available on Pandora, Spotify, and anywhere you get music. And, of course, Play with Pain with Chet Waterhouse, available, the podcast, on Apple Podcasts as well. Jeff, fantastic. My God,
thank you, man.
Not lost a step. Some of those were amongst your best, and so goddamn.
Thank you, guys.
So goddamn funny. We'll bid adieu to Jeff.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdown. Seek news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, starting out, and we do have some other stories and some fun stories, but we got to get through this Capitol Rotunda riot roundup. So just touch on some crazy things that happened on Wednesday. So 4 deaths have been reported after that riot at the Capitol building. So now one, we've all heard about a woman from San Diego. I believe she was a 14-year military vet. She was shot, I think, in the neck amidst all this chaos. She did die. But 3 others were reported dead due to medical emergencies. Could be heart attack, stroke.
Smoke inhalation? I mean, like, you know, like...
tear gas inhalation, yeah, possibly. All we have on the other 3 are medical emergencies, so maybe that will come out.
That Mira sounds Bowser, weird, doesn't it? Like 3 from medical emergencies? It just feels weird with all the riots and all the dust-ups we've had and the thousands of people involved all around the country and everything, and nary a medical emergency. But
I mean,
maybe it speaks to the demographic a little.
I was about to say, I saw a lot of gray beards.
You know what I mean? Could have been that. Yeah.
Running up those steps. So D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser called for a curfew 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Speaking of the National Guard, we were talking about 1,000 National Guard troops have been activated at her request. Meanwhile, White House Director of Social Media Dan Scavino tweeted a statement overnight from President Donald Trump because, you know, Trump's... Twitter was suspended. He said, "This is the
he's got to do the same thing the Browns coach has to do, right?
Just stay at home. Go to the booth.
Go to the booth.
Bobby Valentine mustache.
Right.
After all the chaos and craziness.
Deep cut.
This was his, I'm sorry, I couldn't appreciate
Bobby Valentine. The manager got thrown out of the game, so he came back with like a fake mustache.
Yep. Bobby Valentine was the manager of the Mets, got tossed from a game, which means you're supposed to like leave the dugout, go to the clubhouse.
Right.
He snuck back into, we're going to get a picture of it. This is like 1995-ish. He snuck back into the dugout wearing like a funny nose and glasses.
So it's a joke.
I mean, he wanted to be in the dugout. And he got fined like, you know, $50,000 or something.
Expensive Groucho Marx mask. Oh, do we have it? that's not bad.
Not bad either.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
The problem with sunglasses.
Who had the mustache in the locker room?
For just such an occasion.
It also had the same... Keith Hernandez must have. I think Keith Hernandez would travel with an extra mustache back then.
Just in case the first one gets injured.
You got to go to the bullpen because that's a Keith Hernandez style mustache. The whole thing about wearing the dark glasses to conceal yourself, whether you're a manager who's thrown out of a game or a celebrity walking through LAX or a Unabomber. The problem is if you're wearing sunglasses in places where other people don't wear sunglasses, then you actually draw more attention to yourself. So if everyone else in the dugout is not wearing sunglasses.
Yeah, I think it was a night game.
Right.
That was a crucial error.
Right.
Well, this was the tweet tweeted out by the social media director on behalf of President Trump. It says, even though I totally disagree with the outcome of the election and the facts bear me out, nevertheless, there will be an orderly transition on January 20th. I've always said we would continue our fight to ensure that only legal votes were counted.
By the way, don't you think Trump just did the first part of that tweet? And then the social director's like, let me just finish this one off with the orderly. Because that guy's out the door, right? Yeah. And he's like, I don't want to see anyone else getting shot. So Trump was like, take a tweet. And he was like, I totally disagree with the outcome of the election. I'm going to fight this election. I disagree 100%. All right, read that back to me.
Oh, yeah. What you just said, sir.
Sounds great.
You know what I miss? Yeah, I miss old-timey movies when they were doing like, what would it be? Like a telegram?
Yeah.
And the person would go to Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. Stop.
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 We need to come together as a nation. Stop.
Stop.
Like, it must have been super annoying for the person. Like, just say period or pause.
To my wife, who keeps badgering me. Stop. Wait, did you want to say?
Well, it did cause a lot of confusion in Three Amigos.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah, we know where this is going. He ends it with, it's only the beginning of our fight to make America great again. We have had
bet
some
you had 4 years.
That's right.
We've had some people quit. Melania's, what's her name? Like their director.
Oh, chief of staff. Or
thank you. Yeah. She's quit. Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao said in a statement that she's resigning amid all the rioting and the chaos. She said it was entirely avoidable. She's deeply troubled by it, and she's out.
Adam, is this just theater to get it on the scoreboard that you resigned? Like, it's what are we, 12 days of something? I can't do the math right now.
Well,
13 days out.
I think it's nice to be on, you know, this is, somebody saying, the boss wants to see you because he saw you on the surveillance camera drinking all the copier toner, and you just walk into the boss office and go, I quit. Yeah. I don't care what you got to say, but I'm out of here.
Letter of resignation.
Right.
Right.
And it's funny you bring that up because Nancy Pelosi and Schumer have now decided they're preparing to impeach Trump if Vice President did not immediately invoke the 25th Amendment.
Just in time.
That's what I'm saying. Symbolically, hear me out on this. I'm curious what you think. All the people that have been wanting to impeach Trump since the day he took office, wouldn't that be the absolute worst thing for you to do right now? I mean, you want to make him seal the deal as a folk hero for the rest of your days? A martyr,
yeah.
Who symbolically gets ridden out on a rail at the last second. What is that doing for you?
You really? Also, hasn't he already been impeached?
Yes. The rule is if you're impeached twice, I didn't know this, obviously, you can't run for public office again.
Oh,
Trump is
so
really
that's
going
okay.
To.
That's valid. Then that's valid.
Maybe that's their
but just symbolically
motivation. Yeah. But first off, Nancy Pelosi, do you really think you're going to be around for Trump's second go round here of the presidency in 4 years plus? You know, probably not. Number one, number two. Yeah, I would just be silent and, you know, give him the Viking funeral and just let him float out to sea. But
unless what Brian said is the reason.
Yeah, well, that would be that would be tactical at that point.
Right. And I
don't know if the first impeachment counted because he was impeached. But then he wasn't impeached because he didn't get the votes on it.
He
or
wasn't
something.
Convicted, but the House voted to impeach and brought it to the Senate where he was not convicted. So this would technically be a second, if they did it, a second impeachment.
Right.
Impeachment just means the articles of impeachment are drawn up and now the Senate must vote.
But then it seems like you could just do that with anybody, right? Just impeach him and then double back and impeach him like the next week, right? Which I'm kind of curious they didn't try that already. But anyway. All right.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm surprised this didn't come up with Jeff, because it got a little bit of play Wednesday night. NBA's Boston Celtics and Miami Heat have called out the weak police response, that's what they're calling it, to the attack on the U.S. Capitol. They compared it to how law enforcement handled Black Lives Matter protests. And their statement said, 2021 is a new year, but things have not changed. We played tonight's game with a heavy heart after yesterday's decision in Kenosha, and knowing that protesters in our nation's capital are treated differently by political leaders, depending on what side of a certain issue they're on. The statement went on to say the difference in the handling of Black Lives Matter protesters and the pro-Trump rioters shows how much more work we have to do.
I expect that out of the NBA, but Jesus fucking Christ, Biden had to jump in on that shit today about how it would have been handled differently if the races were different. It's like, ugh, can we just fucking give the race thing a fucking break? It's not good, especially if it's coming from Biden. We have, first things first, I don't know what country would flourish under this constant beating of the drum of race.
Also, sorry to interrupt, but what's in it for Biden? Like, you can sit this one out, and you're not going to lose any political capital.
I know. You just say that these people should be brought to justice. This was a tragedy, yada, 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 and then just do it. Why do we have to fucking weave race into everything? And obviously, there were plenty of riots and looters and complete Sodom and Gomorrah over the last 5 months in this country with Black Lives Matter and everyone else out on the street burning shit down, like surrounding police stations. Like, I think in, I don't know, in Seattle or Portland, like they surrounded a police station and tried to burn down the police station with cops in it. It's hard to, it's a tough argument to make where nobody got shot during all the insane fucking violence and looting and burning of police stations and cop cars and it's just wild running the street violence. And nobody got shot by law enforcement during that or because of that, then to go, now this would be handled completely different if these people were black. It's a kind of bizarre statement to make. It's a bizarre angle. I get it. It's not all apples to apples. But if you're going to make this argument, you need to have a bunch of people getting shot by police over the last several months trying to burn down cop cars or police stations or pier ones or whatever it is, and then contrast that to the one person who got shot. But right now it's one person that got shot versus no people that got shot by the cops. So it's a bullshit argument, and Biden shouldn't be going down this fucking road. If we're going to get into this whole thing, I mean, the whole reason we elected Biden was to heal. We're now going to heal. There's going to be civility. We're going to do this. And he did not need to weave race into this, but yet he did not miss an opportunity. And I fucking can't stand all the goddamn race talk, NBA, Biden, or whomever. It's just a fuck. It's nothing good can come of it.
He could have just kept with the healing message. You know what I mean? And played it.
Yeah. No one would be like, why didn't you bring up race? Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Anyway.
Well, let's move on to something that it will keep you angry, I think. Right. So we used to have we were wringing our hands the other day that the second richest man, most powerful man, moved to
Texas. Wait, but well, do you have that news. Biden clip I told you to get, Max Zapata, that you're going to tell me I didn't tell you to get? But you can find it.
I don't think you told me to get it.
Oh, yes, I did. I told you. What I tell you about Biden? I said, get that clip. He's talking about race.
Okay. I told him not
all
to
right.
get it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll put it this way. If I'm talking about a clip, feel free to get it.
You're right.
There you go. That because it's implied.
Yes.
Sorry.
Your mistake.
Yes.
So the second richest man now out of California into Texas. What could be worse? Well, technically, as of today, he is the first richest man. Elon Musk edged out Jeff Bezos to grab the title of world's richest person, according to Bloomberg. Here's how that shakes out. So a 5% raise in Tesla shares early Thursday lifted the value of its CEO stock in options by about $9.3 billion to $190 billion.
Yeah,
a more modest rise.
Yeah.
And now this is the comparison. A more modest rise of the less than 2% lifted Bezos' Amazon shares by $2.7 billion, putting him at $187 billion.
Oh, man, that's got a sting.
Yeah. And Bill Gates,
that loser.
Yeah.
Bill Gates needs to get on government funding because he has fallen to a distant third at $132 billion.
Got to hurry up and turn on those mind control devices.
That's right.
Through the vaccines.
Jesus.
And we told this guy to go fuck himself.
Oh, God.
Well, we didn't.
Seems like, yes, but some of the folks in charge of California, it just seems like the biggest mistake ever. God, I would court the shit out of that guy if I was running this place.
Please, well, that's what Texas
don't leave.
Is doing.
And by the way, you know, not only that, not only what Elon Musk has currently, but last I checked, he's a young man in his earning years. I mean,
he'll have some more projects on the horizon.
God knows that guy's probably got a few irons in the fire that could have created tons of jobs and tons of tax revenue and tons of infrastructure. I mean, just think about all the stuff he wanted to do, tunneling through the 405 so that we could get to the airport. Like all that guy would have brought to us. And again, best I could tell, and especially that guy's probably sleeping in a hyperbaric chamber and blood doping and stuff. I mean, that guy could be a solid earner for the next 40 years, like nonstop.
He'd go to 130.
Yes. God fucking knows what we could have reaped from that guy being here, but we had to tell him to fuck himself.
Also, Galveston's going to become this like utopia, like Cloud City.
The guy was trying to like safely reopen his manufacturing plant for Tesla, and they were fucking hassling him like he was some Armenian guy trying to open a fucking falafel cart. Like they were like badgering him and nickeling and diming him. And, you know, part of being smart is knowing your options. And so he has definitely played that. Blah. All right. Sorry.
Well, we have a couple of auctions coming up, and I thought these might be some things you want to keep your eye on. David Hasselhoff auctioning off the famous 1982 Trans Am from his Knight Rider series. According to the listing on liveauctioneers.com, the car is described as fully functional, the fully functional kit car.
Does he own it?
Apparently, full conversion car located in the UK. This is the best part. Lot winner responsible for delivery expense. If hammer price exceeds 25% above reserve price, the Hoff will personally deliver the car to the new owner.
Hmm. I'll bring burgers over.
Floor burgers.
I have no furniture.
Great. The problem, it's kind of like the Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am. There's a little bit of that with the Batmobile. It seems like there's more than one of these cars around, but they would always do that. Like we talk about, they'd have the hero car and then have the car that jumps and then the car that speeds and does donuts. Right.
Any extra clout because this one's owned by Hasselhoff, who was the Knight Rider.
Is this going off in Europe, did you say?
It's located in the UK.
Is there nostalgia for Knight Rider?
How dare you? Well, things were in.
That's not an answer, Gina. That's not a yes or a no.
Measured in one Dukes of Hazzard or one Knight Rider.
It's. I was watching Knight Rider a day and a half ago, so I feel well qualified to comment on this.
Okay.
I caught it during one of my favorite scenes, which is it's not when Hasselhoff drives Kit that I enjoy. It's when Kit follows Hasselhoff and he talks to Kit. You know what I mean? Like he's walking in this particular scene, he's on a horse track and he's like, Kit, get a soils analysis going on. And then Kit does his computer voice and does the soils analysis, and he's just walking
with
and the car just very slowly following him as he's doing it. That's my favorite part. And then
it's a real odd couple situation.
Then Kit went out to the parking lot to wait, and a degenerate gambler, because he was smoking half a cigar, walked by him, and Kit gave him the info on who was going to win the next, you know, exacta, which is also because he's that
nice of him.
He's that good. If Kit, in fact, possessed that ability, would there be any reason to solve crime anymore?
No, that's the only I was just thinking, that's the only thing you use that car for.
Yeah, it's like in Ocean's 8. When Matt Damon had that perfume that he had, There's that scene in Ocean's 8 or 11 or whatever.
I think 13.
13, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
He put the musk on him, and the musk that he put on him made him irresistible to women. So
this must have been 13. I did not see it.
Yeah,
what's her name? You might be able to even find that scene. But he puts this musk on him, and the chick who doesn't like him walks into his room, and all of a sudden she's like, oh, my God, please, yeah, may I pleasure you. And she's put her hands all over and stuff. And it's like, hey, if you guys possess this spray musk that makes women sexually attack men in hotel rooms, there'd be no need to rob the casino.
That's a good point.
Yes. It lampshaded in Austin Powers when Dr. Evil's like, we'll ransom them for $1 million. Like, and Robert Wagner's like, this company is worth $10 billion. Why are you wasting your time?
You know what you could sell this to Pfizer or Upjohn for? We got the scene.
Here we go. And he's also wearing a big prosthetic nose.
Yes.
Oh, it's all over now. We can get back to us.
You're panting.
Let me feel it.
No, what?
She's rubbing his hand on her tits.
Stain. Why don't we take this?
Oh, take this off.
Literally trying to rape him.
Oh, boy.
That's okay.
She ripped his shorts.
Oh, she's gone for it.
Oh, dear God. Oh.
Super Dave.
Super Dave. Yeah, Ellen Barkin is attempting to rape Matt Damon.
Right. Super Dave?
Yes.
Super Dave, yeah.
Gotta see this movie.
Yeah, you do. But my point is if you'd actually develop this musk, you'd be the richest. You'd be Elon Musk.
Yes. If Christmas season is just over, and I remember thinking every time I heard Santa Baby, that fucking bitch at the end of the song, she's like, oh, one more thing I need, a deed to a platinum mine. It's like, bitch, you're the richest person in the world. Do you own a platinum mine? You don't need any of this shit.
That's right. Yeah, the used Cadillac would pale in comparison to that.
Yeah.
You got the Biden vid. I'll tease it. So here's Biden, I think, talking about a letter he got from his granddaughter.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here it is. Sorry.
She sent me a photo of military people in full military gear. Scores of them lining the steps of the Lincoln Memorial because of protest by Black Lives Matter. She said, Pop, this isn't fair. No one can tell me that if had been a group of Black Lives Matter protesting yesterday, they wouldn't have been treated very, very differently than the mob of thugs that stormed the Capitol. We all know that's true. And it is unacceptable, totally unacceptable.
All right. Well, let's just fight a little more. Let's just fucking live in a fucking racist society, everybody. Again, could have just said some soothing words or
could have been candidate platitudes.
Cited something from the Torah or something. But instead, we got to talk about race relations. That's a one situation. We got all this is white on white crime, man. All right. One more, Gina Grad.
All right. Well, I was hoping we would get to this because it's been sent to me 1,000 times and I still can't believe it's real. A children's television show in Denmark has whipped parents into a frenzy of outrage over the show's main character, a man with the world's longest penis. It's an animated show called John Dillermand. And by the way, Diller is Danish for penis. And it premiered last weekend on the public TV and was immediately criticized by people. The show follows the title character as he uses his enormous penis to get out of all sorts of tricky situations. It also gets him into some precarious situations. The station is defending the program, arguing that it's fictitious and also important to address the curiosity that children have about the body and genitals.
It's not based on a true story?
John Dillermand.
Yeah. So first Caillou, and now Caillou's been replaced by the guy with the giant dong. We put a little too much stock in kids' curiosity. You know what I mean? Like, when I grew up, it's like, because I said so. Now go back to your fucking room while I smoke in it. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, we didn't have to indulge kids. Like, why? You know, why, you know, daddy, why when you're in with mommy in the bedroom is the door locked? You know what I mean? Well, because I'm balls deep in your biological mother. Would you like to cut my nuts? Like, it's just things where you go, your kids, you'll find things out. You'll figure it out. You'll understand these things at some point.
Yeah, I was caught off guard yesterday when I was tasked with answering out of nowhere, where do babies come from, which I thought was a cliche and people never did it. Now, I would love to answer that question.
How would you know?
Oh, that's funny. Oh, sad. Because... dare you. Because I've, you know, like, I still got like that hippie mentality and I want the kids to know everything, but he's not, can't make that decision. So what did Gina do on the fly instead of revealing the answer in the other room that I would want to know? I went into full character mode, crazy scientist mode. He said, well, you mix this potion and then you sprinkle this, and just got him laughing. And then he went on to something.
Let go of it, yeah.
Now, here's the part I don't like. If I was there in Denmark and I pitched a claymated series about a chick with a giant rack, they'd be like, that's inappropriate. You can't
get
do
out of
that.
My office.
Yes. Yeah. You can't do that to a woman. You can't push that message out there. Well, what? There's a lot of guys that are curious about a giant rack. Like, no. But the giant
cock. How would
cock,
you like it? Yeah.
No.
Prehensile boobs, grabbing things, touching things.
I'd fucking watch that. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina, Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, former federale, although I don't think he calls himself a former federale, from Tijuana, Ed Calderon, to tell us everything about security and what's going on in Mexico and all things Mexico. Get us all caught up in that. It's going to be in a second. The Burbank Pickwick show has been canceled because of some permitting issues. Blah.
That's disappointing to me.
That's disappointing for Dawson.
I was going to work out my crowd work. And there's no better place to do it when people are driving into the show.
Yeah.
Hey, you in the red car.
Yeah. How many Buicks are here tonight?
Naples, Florida is where you'll have to go if you want to watch me do stand-up, though that's going to sell out pretty quick. We'll do live pods there, too. That'll be January 15th, 16th. Ed Calderon is going to come in, and we'll do that right after this.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device, because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.